Papa, thank you. You've called us to live for you. You've called us to walk as your sons and your daughters. Lord, what an awesome privilege that is. So I pray that as we continue to look into your word, that you'll continue to speak to our heart. And we thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Last week I put up a whole lot of prophetic statements that have been said about 2018 and about where the body of Christ is worldwide. There's a real feeling, I believe, that we are on the cusp of something pretty amazing. That God is starting to move in this planet in an unprecedented way, and that we're going to be part of that. To me, it's a little bit like a relay race. When you see a relay race start out, it's like the further they get round the track, the more excited the crowd gets. And as they start to get to the end of the relay, that's when people start to stand to their feet and they start to shout and they start to yell and they start to egg the people on who are running in the relay. And there's a real sense like that is happening in the body of Christ, that we are the ones that are privileged to run in the last lap of the relay. And I have no idea how long this lap is. But I know that there is that feeling like this is the last lap and we want to run this well. And there's that sense that those who have gone before us are in the grandstand of heaven and they're saying, go for it. Give it all you've got. So I believe God wants us ready to enter the race. There's no good putting your running shoes on after the gun has been fired. God wants us with our running shoes on our feet, ready to get on the track and to run our course. I'm not saying that this is the last generation, but for each and every one of us, our generation is our last generation. If the Lord still hasn't come back in 100 years, we'll all be in the grandstands. So we need to run our race well. So really, this is what this series is about. And we started last week by talking about purpose and vision. Purpose is our God-given mandate. It's why God put man on the planet. And we need to understand that. And I spoke quite a little bit about it last week. When it goes up on the website, you'll be able to listen to that and catch a little bit more of an understanding of purpose, because I believe that we need to first know God's intent for us. And then out of that, we start to develop vision. Vision is what we see. And what we see has different fields of vision. So you can see the horizon. You can see what's close in. You can see what's just in front of your face. And when it comes to our vision in God, there are different perspectives. But as I shared last week, I believe that we need to frame purpose in our life. And out of that understanding of purpose, we start to see vision. I don't want to spend more time talking about purpose this morning. Rick Warren has got some excellent material, and we touched on it briefly last week. If you need more understanding of that, you can email me and I'll give you some links to some material that you can go to. But you do need to understand what purpose is, and we do need to be able to frame it in our life. Rick Warren uses the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. I actually like the New Commandment. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Just going to make this a bit bigger for everyone. Thank you, Papa. Our purpose is to love God and to reveal that love to others. That simply put, you need to find your own statement of what it means to live for God while you're here. You'll find that fat. What's YWAM's one? Because I know it's... Can you say it again? Yes. That's YWAM's one. It's great to know God and make him known. I would even encourage you to come up with a purpose statement for your life. What is your life about? Because when you understand your purpose, then you can start to put vision into perspective. It's framed. And in the next month when we go on, I'm going to talk about another aspect of framing our vision that is important for us to understand. But this morning I want to develop the whole aspect of vision first. But before we do so, let's touch on Micah 6:8. It says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." That's what God asks of us. And if we do those things, we are a success. See, I know that there are some people who are battling with situations. Maybe they've got some difficulties that they're dealing with, some health challenges. Maybe there's some things happening in their life and they're saying, "Lord, I don't know that I can do much more than just live for you day by day by day and just pray that I get to the end of another day." And God says, "That's good. I'll walk with you each and every day." And your life, if you do that, can be a success. Each and every one of us can stand before God and say, "I loved you with all my heart, and I wanted to make that love known to others." That's one aspect. But there is also another aspect where I know that there are many of us that are saying, "God, I feel like there's something specific that you want me to hit. And yes, I'm happy to love you and to love others in that, but there's something that's stirring on the inside that says, God, you've got something for me and I want to know what it is." Well, let me first of all take you to Ephesians 2:10, which says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I know that there's many people here who are saying, "Yeah, I want to do more than survive. I want to do more than just get to heaven and be thankful I got there. I want to hit the mark and do something that I feel God set up for me. I want to be able to say, Papa, I believe you had that for me. And I finished my race. I did it." And Papa and you will rejoice and go, "Yes, that was great." I believe that we're meant to feel that. The Apostle Paul said, "I have run my race. I have hit the mark. I've done what I've been called to do." So if you're one of those people, let's talk about how. What does it mean? How do we lay hold of that specific thing that God has for us? We've got to go beyond purpose. We've got to go beyond the fact, well, we're born on this planet, got born again, love God, love others, do the best they can and go home to heaven. We need to go beyond that and start looking at vision. So let's start by looking at a fairly familiar passage of Scripture, Habakkuk 2, 1 to 4. Great passage of Scripture on vision. Verse 1, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart to watch to see what he will say to me. All vision starts with God. It starts with the awareness of what God has said to you. And what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Step number 2, write down what you sense, what you feel. Because when you write it, you make it plain. It's very hard to run with something that's airy-fairy. Start to write. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. The first thing you do is start with something that is way beyond where you're at. Let me put it this way. Who has painted a picture? Few of you. Where do you start painting when you paint a picture? Yeah, at the top? The background, yes. You paint the background before you paint the foreground. When it comes to vision, you paint the background. Most of us are too busy looking at now. What am I meant to do now? What does God want me to do now? Don't worry about that until you have painted the background. The vision is for an appointed time. It's not time yet. You're painting something that is outside of the now. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. There is certainty to it. It will come to pass. Then he makes this interesting statement. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. I'll explain that to you in a moment. Verse 4, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. It's almost, what's verse 4 doing in there? What's that about? How's it connected? Well, it is connected. See, there's two things that limit us when it comes to vision. Number one, we look at the now. We look at who we are and what we can do. And we say, I couldn't do that. That's not me. That's too hard. How could I do that? And we disqualify ourselves. The other way that we disqualify ourselves is we say, oh, that I couldn't do that. I mean, really? Who am I to say that I'm going to do that? That's just too grandiose. I mean, people will think I'm crazy. That's just too big, too amazing. And I don't want to be proud. So the Lord helps us by saying, this is what it looks like to be proud. To be proud is not to have your soul right with God. To dream a big dream is not being proud. It is simply recognizing that you have a big God. And some of you need to push away the accusation that you're proud, you think too highly of yourself, and that you could never possibly ever do that because that is something big. And God says, paint it bigger. because I'm a big God and I love big dreams. I'm glad I got some amens on that one. I would have been worried if there was no amen on that one. Okay. Verse 3, I said I would come back to it. Or it says, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, for it will not tarry. Sounds like that's a bit contradictory. They're two different words. They just use the same word in English. The first tarry, though it tarries, means to question or hesitate. Have you hesitated over something that you feel God has said to you? Do you question it? Does it's like, oh, really? Is this possible? Is this really for me? Though it hesitates, though it questions, though it makes you feel slightly insecure, though you think, oh, would this really possibly happen for me? It will not tarry. It will not loiter or be behind. God knows exactly what he's doing in your life, and he will position you for the dream that he has placed within you, because Papa wants your dream to come to pass. You are right on time. And some of you need to hear that. Because some of you think that you are too late and that you have missed your boat. The boat's still anchored in the harbour. It's time to get on. Number one, write it. Well, actually, number one, dream with God. God's a big dreamer. He has amazing dreams for his kids. And who of us as parents haven't had dreams for our kids? You know, they're going to be from a ballerina in the ballet company. They're going to be whatever. We dream big for our kids. And Papa is no different. But what is different about Papa is that he can do it through us. So the first thing, dream with God. The second thing, write it down. And we so often miss this step. Or draw it. If you're an artist, draw what you see God having for you. Number three, don't limit yourself. Because right now you need to start with the beyond the horizon vision for your life. See, let me give you a picture. Vision is what we see. Very simple picture for you here. In fact, let me just go straight to the next one. There are different horizons in the picture. There is a beyond the horizon vision. Then there are the mountains. They are in the background. In this picture, in the midground, we have the path. In the foreground, we have the sign. Stop looking at the sign and start dreaming of the beyond the horizon. That's where your vision starts. It's not time to look at the mountains till you look beyond the mountains. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to start with pursuit. I'm going to go through with you what our beyond the horizon vision is. Number one, you need to know it if you're part of the church, because it's part of your vision as well. And as we talk through the next couple of weeks, couple of months, we will be talking about your part within the vision. But number two, I want you to start to see how God wants you to actually formulate your own vision outline. and we start with our beyond, or the, sorry, that should be beyond the horizon vision. So our purpose, we talked about this last week, touching the heart of God, impacting the heart of man, releasing the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people, when they talk about vision statements, are actually talking a purpose statement. They're usually short. They're usually something that you can memorize. Vision goes beyond that. Vision is something bigger. It's what you see, and you have to start to describe what it is that you see. So over the last couple of years, we've been working together with the team leaders, and specifically I've been working with John and Lynn and that, and saying, Papa, what is it that you have for us as pursuit? What is our beyond the horizon vision? What do you have for us? So I'm going to show you some pictures of what I believe it looks like. And the first picture I'm going to show you is of an oasis. Why an oasis? Often vision comes in response to a need that you feel. We live in a broken planet. We live where there are people who are bound by sin, broken. One of the key words that describes people in this generation are orphans. There has been a breakdown of the family unit. There are people who do not know that security and that strength of immediate family. They don't know that they are loved. They don't know that they belong. And out of that brokenness, we see all the displays of sin, all the displays of anger, everything that we are seeing in our planet at the moment. The root of that is orphanhood. Secondly, the body of Christ has been trapped in legalism. And there have been many Christians who are performing to try and lay hold of what Papa wants to freely give. They don't know the message of grace. They don't know that they're already loved and accepted. In reality, we live as Jesus spoke the parable of the father with two sons. We have the sons who are out living any means they can. They end up in the pigsty. They end up far away from their sense of identity. But we also have other sons that are out laboring in the field, trying desperately to earn the favor of the father, not knowing that the father's heart is aching for them. And I believe that God has made us first and foremost an oasis, because an oasis is a place that is found in the midst of dry ground, in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of those that are far away from God. God has placed this little church called Pursuit, and we're an oasis of his presence. We're an oasis of acceptance and belonging. Just look around. Look at the people that are in here. We are so different from one another. What brings us together? Number one, that sense of presence. Number two, that sense of belonging. We are an oasis. And one of the biggest heart cries that you'll hear from all of us is, God, we want more of you. We want you to turn up. We want that life-giving flow of water that says, I have met with God. That place of encounter, that place of knowing him, that place where in worship we come and we enter realms where it's like, wow, I wouldn't miss this for anything. See, together we go places in the realm of the Spirit that we will never touch individually. And that is the strength of who we are as Pursuit. But it goes beyond the worship. It goes into encounter. It goes into being able to be people who know how to bless one another. It starts at the door with the greeting, and it goes all the way through to the cafe or a place of encounter. You carry that as part of this church, where people meet God because they meet you. We're a place of encounter. We're a place of belonging. Church used to be corporate. Had the guy at the top and all the workers. There has been a major transformation already in the body of Christ, where God has turned that round and said, no, I'm a family and my body is a family. You have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God's model of government is family. Father, mother, children. And God has brought that in an amazing way into the body of Christ. That's part of the transformation that we have seen in the body of Christ over the last 10, 15 years. It's God changing from denominationalism, not against denominations, denominationalism, that says that we gather because we all agree on this doctrine, to bringing us into the apostolic, which says we come together because we have one Father. Place of encounter, a place of belonging. But what happens in the midst of that is God starts to minister to us as individuals. In the Bible, a tree is used to speak of us as individuals, that we become trees of righteousness, we're the planting of the Lord. And that when we become planted, that we start to flourish. Yes, there'll be those that come, they'll stay for a Sunday and they'll go. Because part of the call on this church is to be in an international watering hole. And there are people who have come from overseas for one service and have gone. And that's fine. That's part of who we are. It's part of the global presence that we have through the Secret Place Ministry. But there are also others who will come and they will stay, and they will be like a tree that puts its roots down and grows strong. And that strength is something that starts to come amongst those who make this place their place. Because it's part of the anointing that is on our church in the area of restoration and transformation, where people come who have been broken and have been hurt, but their roots go down deep into who God is, and they start to become strong in themselves. Their families become strong. You see that restoration of marriages, restoration of their kids, and they start to reach out and they start to become who God destined them to be. That too is part of who we are as Pursuit. But I believe that God has not only something for us as individuals, but I believe he has something for us corporately. And round an oasis, that's where you not only have trees, but you also have cities. A city in the Bible speaks of who we are corporately. In the Old Testament, they had cities of refuge. They were places where people could run to when they had problems, where they could run to and they were safe. Even if they had caused the manslaughter of somebody else, they were safe in the city of refuge. And I believe that they're in a corporate sense, that's who we will become. We will be a place that people will run to, and a place where people will say, I need to talk with you. I need to come to church this Sunday. And it's that corporate strength that we have as a body of believers, where we will see transformation. There will be things like transformation centres connected with this church. Because God wants to see lives changed. Not only will there be transformation in the city, but there'll also be equipping and training in the city. The Bible tells us that Paul, when he went to a city, that he would teach and he would train and he would raise up others. And I believe that's part of the call that's on this house. It ties back in to the fact that God has changed the structure of churches to that of a family. See, let me put it this way. The role of a mother and father is not to raise children. It's to raise adults. For far too long, most churches have functioned like a factory. You come and you serve the vision of the man at the top. You're part of a machinery that pumps out a certain result at the end of the day. God wants his family back, because in a family, you raise up sons and daughters to go further than you, to do more than you, to be stronger and greater than you will ever be. And God wants to release such a move of the Spirit upon the planet that he needs churches who will raise up sons and daughters who will have sons and daughters. Where people are raised up to know who they are in God, to be able to walk in their destiny. See, church is not just meant to be a place where we come and we get blessed and we get our needs met. No, church is meant to be a place where we are equipped. Church is a destiny incubator. Church is a place where we start to say, you know what? I believe God wants me to do this. Do you know what? Pam was talking about going and blessing people at my work. I did that. I did it before anybody else arrived at work because I felt a bit stupid, but I just went in there and I just started blessing them. And guess what? They got saved. Guess what? They started coming to me and saying, will you tell me about this God? I hear that you're a Christian. That's the power that is meant to be in the body of Christ. See, folks, we may start as an oasis, but that's not what we are meant to finish up as. Because water is always meant to flow out. And what started as an oasis is to become a river. You're part of that river. God wants what's in you to be released because you carry something amazing that is meant to be touching this world. But God has also made it that we don't reach the fullness of who we are called to be, all by ourselves. When you look at Ephesians 4, it talks about every joint supplying. Everybody helping the body to grow. That's why we need one another. That's why together we will accomplish far more than we will accomplish by ourselves. Because as you grow, you will help somebody else grow. And in helping them to grow, you will grow. And the call that God has on your life will flourish as you start to sow into the call that is on somebody else's life. That's God's economy. It works well. So I'm going to finish quickly by giving you a brief overview. We reduced it down to words of what we see as a beyond the horizon vision for Pursuit. Pursuit is an oasis that refreshes people in the presence of God. Connected with family, lives will flourish and be restored. People will become whole, strong, and free. transformed and empowered, they will be released to impact communities, cities, and nations. That is our beyond the horizon vision. And in reading through that, there are key words. Let me pull out those key words for you. Encounter, connect, transform, empower, release. Those five become the five mountains of opportunity that we're going to climb together. And in accomplishing those five mountains, we will see beyond them and we will accomplish what God has for us. Now let's finish up by bringing this down to you. Number one, I hope as I spoke that on the inside you're able to say, yeah, I can see that. I can see that for pursuit. It's over the horizon, but I can see that. Because that's who we are and that's where we're going. But I want to bring it down to the personal level for you this morning. So let's go back. Developing a beyond the horizon vision. One, write down keywords and concepts that God has spoken to you. Go over your prophecies. Go over the scriptures that mean something to you. Just start writing them down. Put them all together. Number two, add ideas, passions, and dreams. If you had no limitations, if you had all the money in the world, if you could do whatever you wanted to do, what would you do? Write it down. Okay? I put there, don't limit yourself to what you can see. Remember, the just live by faith. Let your faith operate. Don't limit yourself. That's why I put there, paint with big strokes. Get a big paintbrush out. You're painting the background. Stop thinking, oh, I don't know if I could do that. Oh, well, that would mean I'd have to do this. You're getting out the fine detail brush. No, just start with the big strokes. Lord, if I could do anything, I would do that. Oh, I'd just love to be able to do such and such. Write it down. You are writing down and you are drawing something that is beyond the horizon. It's beyond what you can see at this point in time. But you have to start with that range of vision before you can come into the foreground. And because we don't start there, many of us don't start at all. Remember in Habakkuk, write it and make it plain so that he who reads it can run with it. You won't be able to run with it until you start to write it and make it plain. And then finally, identify themes. That's the next step. That's where you go through and you start to circle things and you pull things together. And they become the background vision. They're the mountains. Our time's up, but I feel like throwing it open for some questions. Does anybody have some questions on developing the beyond the horizon vision for yourself? Or does anyone have any questions regarding what I've gone through for pursuit? And yes, if you need to slip away, I have actually closed the meeting. You can slip away, but if there's a couple of quick questions. Okay. My encouragement is start doing this for yourself. It will take a while. You have got to go through the chaos of the process of having lots of different ideas and having no idea how they come together. You are not working on the pathway yet. Can I bring it back? In the picture, you've got that nice little pathway leading to the mountains. You aren't anywhere near looking at the pathway yet. You are looking at the sky beyond the mountains. Paint your sky. Paint it well. Throw in all the crazy things that you want. Because underneath those crazy ideas, you'll find that there's a God idea. So start there. Sure. Make it all of it. Don't make your picture of the sky this size. The sky is huge. Make it as big as you want. Don't try at this stage to try and put things in different boxes. Just put it all on paper. From, I'd love to go to Austria one day, to, God, I think you want me to do such and such. You know, throw in any type of dream. Throw in your fun dreams. You'll be amazed. I started to do this years ago. I listed three things, three places I wanted to go in the world. It's like, oh yeah, I'll come back to this later, but yeah, God, I'd like to go to this, I'd like to go to this, I'd like to go to this. Our trip that we did in 2015, I went to those three places. You write it, God will fulfill it. I remember at the time thinking, God, I should have written more on my list. Yes. You can always make a new list. But yes, put as much as you can on your list. Make it huge. And don't limit yourself to what you think you are or what you think is acceptable to dream. Dream big. You have a big God. Amen. Well, enjoy morning tea. And if you have some questions, we are going to get to the stage where we are going to help coach and that one another through in developing our dream and our vision. That's part of what I would like to see happen. So don't just brush the stuff off that I'm going to be sharing with you. And, oh, yeah, I suppose I'd do that one day. I would start actually following it through. So last week we talked about purpose. If you don't know what your purpose is, go Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren, or join the library. Get hold of some materials. Know your purpose. Then out of your purpose, develop your vision. But start with beyond the horizon.